You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live on location, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. We are live on location here in Ripon, Wisconsin, in front of the birthplace, the Republican Party, the Little White Schoolhouse here in Ripon. It is Thursday, the 3rd of October, 2024. It is a great day to be in Wisconsin. Like crystal blue skies, a beautiful community, a beautiful day here in Ripon. Glad to have you along back at home at the world headquarters, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square, our very own Aaron Zommers. What an hour one, Mr. Zommers, and lots coming up in hour two, including our friend and colleague Matt Flynn, our ongoing contributor, a two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, an attorney, and also a great author and a heck of a nice guy. Matt Flynn's going to take us through some of the current events on the judicial side of things and give us a little history lesson a little bit later on. Big show today, Zommers.
Absolutely. And, you know, I got to get myself down to Ripon now. I mean, I've been there before, but I haven't been to the Little White Schoolhouse. And it seems like there's just really a lot of interesting history to delve into there.
There really is, and Mandy did such a great job. Mandy Kime is the executive director of the Ripon Area Chamber of Commerce. I'm going to hope she has time to come back and wrap things up at the end of the show. But again, this schoolhouse proper, it's not a partisan political venue. It is a history museum. And so it's here to tell the story of the history of the Republican Party and the importance it's played in our nation's history and, of course, in our state's history as well. More on that a little bit later. But I want to turn to another issue. We've talked about this on this show. Part of the mission of Civic Media, part of the mission of this show, is concentrating on community issues across the state, helping us to better be informed, better to understand, and better to advocate for our local communities. I want to spend just a few minutes and zero in on Sauk County. If you don't know where it's at, it is in southwest Wisconsin, just below Wisconsin Dells. A lot of people know where that is. And Baraboo is the county seat there. And we've talked about this issue that so many places around Wisconsin are facing, and that is our senior care health centers, our county-owned centers, and the potential of them being privatized and what that means. There is an important meeting tonight in Baraboo, Wisconsin, in Sauk County. And joining us on the phone right now is George Gale, a longtime community organizer in Sauk County and the Baraboo area. George, thanks for taking a few minutes with us and to come on the show. Tell folks a little bit about what's going on in Sauk County and what's going on tonight. How can they get involved?
Yeah, there's a big fight here. There's a push to privatize the Sauk County Healthcare Center, which is a nursing home. It's been in the community for 100 years. And despite widespread resistance, I mean, local small-town seniors here have been flooding into county board meetings, writing letters to the editor, marching in the parade, bringing tractors to the parade, and giving county leaders hell every step of the way, but they still are pushing forward on trying to privatize the nursing home. And today, we had the Federal Trade Commissioner, Lena Khan, join us to help build visibility for this fight.
Well, it's a pretty big deal to have the Federal Trade Commissioner step in. Yeah. I think a lot of people would say, you know, why the heck is the Federal Trade Commission getting involved? Help us understand this a little bit, George. Is it because there's a private business trying to take over a public one, or why is the FTC involved?
I think the FTC and Lena Khan came today more just to help lend visibility to the issue of the push to privatize these county-owned nursing homes in the state. So really doesn't have, like, leverage to be able to do anything, but knew that her being here would get more media attention and bring a lot of people out, which it did.
Yeah, and that's good. So the meeting's already happened. Is there anything else happening tonight, or is the community involvement done for the day, at least today?
Yeah, there was a packed room at St. Paul's Church in Baraboo today. Lots of media showed up for the event. And the Sauk County Health Care Center, the board voted to sell it, but it has to be approved. That sale has to be approved by the Department of Health Services. They have 60 days from the time that the Sauk County Board put that application in. And the buyer, the proposed buyer in Sauk County is Aria, and they just have a horrendous track record. There are fights like this happening across the state, but in no county is the proposed buyer so scary. So Aria owns 16 nursing homes, which have been written up by Medicare and Medicaid services, with 710 deficiencies, 45 infections, and $1.6 million in fines over a three-year period. 12 of their nursing homes have been watchlisted by nursing home abuse advocates. That's an average of 44 deficiencies per nursing home over 3 years. The Sauk County Health Care Center has had four in that same three-year period. So now the big push is to get the Department of Health Services and really the Evers administration to say, no, we are not going to approve this sale. And they recently blocked the sale of three other nursing homes to a company in New Jersey that had a horrendous track record. So we're actually hopeful that maybe they'll do that in this case.
Talking to George Gale, longtime community organizer in the Sauk County and Baraboo area, talking about this impending transfer of the Sauk County Health Care Center from a public entity, Sauk County, into a private one. I believe we have joining us as well, Judy Bry, via telephone. She is with the Citizens for the Sauk County Health Care Center. Judy, thanks for taking time for us. Help us to understand from your perspective, you know, we have a statewide audience. Obviously, this is a local issue in Sauk County, but why should people across the state of Wisconsin care what's happening in Sauk County?
Because I think George said this, that it's not just happening in Sauk County. It is happening in other counties in our state and across our country. You know, Lincoln County, Portage County, St. Croix County. There's a push to do this in other counties as well. So we should all pay attention.
That's a great point. That and you know, I grew up in Richland County. Still have family there. Get there quite often, and spent a couple of terms on the city council, never on the Richland County board. But George, or I'll start Judy with you, and then George. Why is this so difficult for these county governments to maintain these facilities? Did it become insurance issues? I mean, Judy, what led to where we're at today, in your opinion?
Well, in our county, I really don't know exactly what it is, because we have shown that, number one, we built a newer facility in 2009 with taxpayer dollars, and it's a beautiful, well-maintained facility. There aren't huge financial issues with this facility, especially with the new higher reimbursement rates from the federal government through Medicare. We don't know what the issue was. You know, they did have to, during COVID, close down one wing of the healthcare center, which a lot of nursing homes did the same thing.
Right.
They weren't,
right,
you know, bringing in as many seniors or disabled people during that time. And so they've opened up, and it's hard everywhere to find staff. But, you know, we don't think having a for-profit place is going to make that any easier. In fact, it'll probably make it harder, because county wages and benefits tend to be better than the private sector.
Sure. George, I want you to speak to this just for a second. I'll pose the question a different way. Do you think this became untenable for the county? I know the county's put in at least a couple of hundred thousand more into the two-year college there, trying to help save that in Baraboo. Do you think that the county is low on money, or do you think this is just an opportunity? Yeah. I'll use the term, you know, a money grab to get a lot of money from a private organization to take this over.
At the county level, I've been to the meetings in the four counties that have big active fights right now. I'll be really honest, it looks pretty ideological, like a moment to actually downsize government. Every one of these nursing homes is operating in the black. Some are actually generating a profit for the county. And you will hear the quote at county board meetings, certainly in Lincoln County, that is like, it's not the role of government to do this. So I do think there is some push. I mean, in some counties, there's been a push to private to sell out or shut down 4-H, which to me is the sacred cow in rural communities. So there's,
yeah,
but the finances on these things are actually all fine in every situation.
And And I find that so interesting because, you know, this may be a theme. We're here in Ripon, Wisconsin today, where former Congresswoman Liz Cheney, a Republican, is here endorsing, current Vice President Kamala Harris for president. And there's this theme, right? Myself, as a former Republican, lifelong Republican until 2011, we talk about smaller government, but I think that's different than saying, well, government has zero role. And I'd be interested to how many of those people along ideological lines saying the county has no business operating, you know, county health facility, are they, what age are they? Because as a guy who's about to turn 55, you start thinking about that a lot more, George.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's interesting to say that. Oh, yeah, sorry.
George, and then Judy, go ahead.
Okay, so yeah, in Lincoln County, at one of the meetings, a 90-year-old man from Pinecrest, the county owned nursing home, came to the board meeting in his wheelchair and said, you guys seem to think that the board was maybe around 50s. Like, this isn't going to happen to you. Like, you're never going to need this.
Right.
But you're going to need this. Don't, or your family's going to need this. That guy fought till his last breath. So there's a poll coming out Tuesday on how rural Wisconsinites feel about the issue of long-term care. And there is widespread support across partisanship for more investment in the long-term care system in the state. And at our meetings that we've been organizing around the state, there are Democrats, Independents, and Republicans coming.
That's a great point. Judy, about a minute left. Go ahead.
Yep. No, I totally echo what George is saying, that there is very little public support in Sauk County for this. None. I mean, people didn't know it was happening, number one, and when they found out, they were horrified. Signed petitions, showing up at meetings, writing letters to the editor, walking in parades. No, people don't want this because they do understand that we're all going to need that type of care at some point. And we actually moved my mom from Madison to Reedsburg because we knew there were three facilities that she might need in the future that had 5-star ratings. And we knew from, you know, we've lived in the community for 30 years and heard only good things about these facilities. And I said, we're bringing mom up here.
I want to have both of you back on another show where we can really suss this out and learn more, because you're both well-spoken, and this is a huge issue going to be for people across the state. But really quickly, Judy, in your opinion, then, is this just, you know, for lack of a better word, Trump-type people getting elected to county board offices and making these deals in closed rooms? If the people of Sauk County don't want it, how are we here?
I don't know. I can't answer all of that, but I can say that it does seem to be from the top down that, you know, the board is being convinced by the top leadership that this is what we need to do, and they just buy it hook, line, and sinker, even when we show up.
I don't mean to cut you off against the clock. I want to give you 30 seconds. How can people get involved if they want more information? Is there a website or a phone number?
We have a Facebook
page.
Quickly.
What else?
Yeah, there's a Facebook page.
Citizens for Sauk County Healthcare Center. Citizens for Sauk County Healthcare Center. Facebook. We'll put that in the show notes. Stay tuned, Matt. Thank you both very much. Matt Flynn is next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law?
Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location here in beautiful Ripon, Wisconsin. We are right in front of the Little White Schoolhouse, the historic Little White Schoolhouse. It is the birthplace of the Republican Party. And no, for those watching on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, make sure to subscribe to those, by the way, and see us every day, listen to us as well. But no, it is not a green screen. It's just that beautiful here in Ripon, Wisconsin. It's a crystal blue day as far as the skies go. It's absolutely fantastic, and we're happy to be here. Of course, Vice President Kamala Harris is expected to be in town later today, along with former Congresswoman Liz Cheney, a Republican, of course. Her dad, Dick Cheney, vice president under George W. Bush, both the former vice president and Liz Cheney endorsing Kamala Harris. And Harris and Cheney are going to be here in Ripon a little bit later today. Civic Media will have coverage when that happens across the Civic Media Radio Network. We are glad to be here along with Aaron Zommers back at home at the home studio in Madison, Wisconsin. And the, when you hear Johnny Cash on this show, chances are better than not that our friend and ongoing contributor Matt Flynn is going to join the program, such as the case today via phone from beautiful Milwaukee. He is a two-time chair of the Democratic Party of the state of Wisconsin, a great attorney, and also an author of several wonderful books, of which we have talked about here on this show several times. And we would encourage you to check Matt's books out, Matthew J. Flynn, wherever you buy books. Matt, thanks for taking the time for us as always, and welcome back to the program.
Well, good to be with you, Todd, and these are very consequential days in history, so very good to be on your great show, Todd.
We always a huge news day, and we always appreciate you taking time for us. One of the main reasons I wanted to have you on is to really help us suss out this other big story, not just Vice President Harris and Liz Cheney visiting Wisconsin today here in Ripon, but also what happened late yesterday afternoon and into the night, which was the unsealing of these court documents by Judge Chutkan on particularly what happened on January 6th. I want to get we're going to give that a lot of time here for the rest of the show. But first, Matt, if we could just start with your take on today's events here in Ripon. You're a great historian. You know history. You know politics. You don't know the significance of the building behind me, the Little White Schoolhouse, which started the Republican Party. Matt, just as a guy who is a kind of a political nerd like me, isn't it rich and incredible that the Democratic vice president and the current nominee for the Democratic Party for president brings along one of the members of the Republican Party dynasty in the Cheneys to Ripon, Wisconsin to have a rally?
You know, if you had told me 20 years ago that Dick Cheney was going to endorse the Democratic nominee in 2024, who is a senator from California, I would have said you're crazy. I mean, that ain't going to happen, because Dick Cheney was as hardcore as you get. I mean, there are other people that slithered around and pretended to be moderate. Dick Cheney was. So something is going on in the Republican Party. Remember something historically. The Republican Party under Lincoln was the abolitionist party. Mm-hmm. Now it's the MAGA fascist pro-Russian party. And frankly, the Democratic Party in the 1850s was the Ku Klux Klan party. And now its fringe is so far to the left, it's anti-Israel, and some of them are pro-Hamas. So it's all flipped around. There's a lot of stuff going on in both parties. But in this particular case, this is excellent cover, with Liz Cheney there, with Kamala Harris, and Ripon, for Pete's sake, excellent cover for anybody who's moderate or moderate Republican or independent to say, well, this time I'm going to pull the lever for Kamala Harris.
And I think that's really the point, Matt, or one of the points here, is that I think for not everybody, of course, but for a certain segment of folks who might still consider themselves Republican and who might vote for their sheriff for the register of deeds or whatnot in their courthouse races. Heck, I mean, you know, might even vote for their state legislator as a Republican. I would advise not to, but, you know, they might want to do it, and that's fine. But I think part of the reason Liz Cheney is here is to say to those people, you know what, that's okay. You don't have to become a card-carrying member of the Democratic Party to vote for Kamala Harris, that we're creating a unique coalition in a moment of time to make sure that we can have these partisan arguments between these two parties into the future.
Well, you're exactly right, and there's historical precedent for it. You know, the House or the South started to go Republican starting in 1968 to the present over civil rights. But even so, because the South for 100 years before that had been what we call yellow dog Democrats, which meant I'll vote for yellow dog before I'll vote for Republican. And yet, even with all of those states, say Mississippi and Alabama, going for Republican presidential candidates, there are many counties in both states where a Republican can't win a county office. It's all Democratic, but they're all extremely conservative Democrats. And that's what's happening in the Republican Party. I think you're exactly right. I think there are a lot of counties that there can be a lot of Republican votes that say, well, I'll continue to vote for a clerk of court. I'll continue to vote for sheriff as a Republican, but I will not vote for a Russian fascist Donald Trump. I will not do that. And that's a very, very welcome development.
Well, and I think that was the point that Liz Cheney was making at Idea Fest in Madison a couple of weeks ago, and I anticipate her to make the point here in Ripon today, that there's nothing conservative, let alone ideologically conservative or Republican, about not accepting certified election results, let alone trying to overturn an election. And now we learn, and we're going to get into this more after the bottom of the hour, now we learn that Donald Trump allegedly advocated for a riot in order to prevent a peaceful transition of power.
He advocated for a riot. He planned the riot. And then they were told, you know, your vice president's in danger. You know, he's going to get hanged. There's a gallows there. He said, so what? Who says that? There is no president in history that would have said that about anybody, much less his own vice president.
Right. And that's what's so unbelievable, right? I mean, it's just unbelievable. And I think that's why people like Liz Cheney, who is actually voting for Kamala Harris, people like Paul Ryan, former Speaker of the House, a Republican, who simply said he's not going to vote for Trump. Cheney's made the point that's not enough. You have to actually vote for Harris because it's just, there's nothing Republican. The building behind me, the Little White Schoolhouse, nobody in that, you know, when they started the Republican Party said, well, you know what, if we lose, we're not going to accept it. I mean, that wasn't a tenet of the party, Matt.
Right. Heck, even 30 years ago in Wisconsin, there's nobody in the Republican Party that would have advocated overturning the Constitution, advocating being submissive to a guy like Putin. For Pete's sake, both parties were strongly, adamantly anti-communist and anti-Russian. And they should have been ever since Stalin and ever since the Second World War. This crowd is turning on its head. And I'll tell you something. Trump and Vance are no more Republicans than I am. They're not Republicans, either traditionally or in any other way. Listen, Vance said that Trump was Hitler and incompetent to be president, and then he sucked up. I mean, it's sort of a prostitution thing. And then Trump, for God's sake, was a Democrat until 2015, and he didn't have any convictions there either. So you hit the nail on the head.
More Matt Flynn on the other side. Don't go anywhere. We're live from Ripon, Wisconsin, in front of the birthplace of the Republican Party, here for Harris and Cheney on location on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show, live on location in Ripon, Wisconsin, in front of the Little White Schoolhouse, the birthplace of the Republican Party. We are here in anticipation for the arrival of Vice President Kamala Harris and also former Congresswoman Liz Cheney, a Republican, and she is campaigning with the Vice President today. She has already endorsed her, as has her father, former Republican Vice President Dick Cheney under George W. Bush. And Harris and Cheney are here at the birthplace of the Republican Party, where it all began, I believe, to draw a contrast in what the party was founded on, the foundational tenets. We hope to talk at the end of the show once again with Mandy Kimes, Executive Director of the Ripon Area Chamber of Commerce, which oversees and runs this historic building and historic site. And we bring in our ongoing contributor and friend, Matt Flynn, two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, also a great attorney, a great author. You can find all of his books wherever you buy your books under Matthew J. Flynn. Matt, again, thanks for coming on the program. And again, it's just the irony here is not lost that this was a party that was largely founded on personal land rights, that was founded on equality, that was founded on voting rights, that was founded on anti-slavery, thinking that people who are not even from this country, that were forced to be brought here, primarily from Africa in chains, and that those folks were actually people. They were not property. And now you contrast that with Republican Trumpism nominee in Donald J. Trump and J.D. Vance for vice president, who in Trump's case are calling, you know, people that are not originally from here dogs. J.D. Vance, who inaccurately said that Haitians in Springfield, Ohio, were here illegally, quote unquote, which in fact, as Nora O'Donnell and Margaret Brennan, the moderators at CBS on Tuesday, pointed out that the folks in Springfield, Ohio, the Haitians, actually have legal status here. They are here legally. We've heard from employers, Matt Flynn, in Springfield, Ohio, that said they're great employees. They're adding to the American melting pot, the American experiment. Everything, Matt, that was founded here in the Republican Party behind me in this white schoolhouse now seems antithetical to the Trumpism, or is it that Trumpism is antithetical to real Republicanism? I ask you, Matt Flynn.
Well, Trump is not a Republican, and neither is J.D. Vance. And let me tell you something else. The Republican Party was formed in the 1850s. Remember, they had the Fugitive Slave Act, they had the Kansas-Nebraska Act, and all of this business. And things were bubbling to a point, and they had Abraham Lincoln, thank God, in the wings. It was an abolitionist party. It was a modern new party, and it's morphed from that to a fascist party, a party that sucks up Vladimir Putin and that spreads racial discontent. So the truth of the matter is, when you say who left the, it's not the Republican Party anymore under Trump.
Right.
What it is it's a party that's a fascist party. And frankly, the Democratic Party used to be the Ku Klux Klan party in the 1850s, and now it's far to the left. So things change, and I think, I mean, I'll predict this, that in the next 10 or 15 years, there's going to be a realignment of both parties.
Very interesting, Matt. I want to get to the other big story. We teased it before the break. I want to get to the other big story of the day that broke last night. And as you always do, help us to understand this, what it means. You've talked about this on this network repeatedly. And that is what Judge Chutkan did yesterday, which is unseal these court documents that Jack Smith had filed in regards to January 6th. And Matt, I think for a lot of people, if you didn't think that what Trump has said or done to this point was disqualifying, what we learned last night certainly is.
That's exactly right. And let me tell you something. That was a brilliant move at first. It was the correct legal move. And you know what it reminded me of in an odd way is the ending of the movie Day of the Jackal with Robert Redford. If you haven't seen that movie, you got to see it. It's a great movie. But in the end, the CIA is covering stuff up and there's murders. And suddenly, Redford's character takes the documents and goes to the New York Times. The point is, sunlight is the best disinfectant. So what she did, 165 pages, and she just, there's nothing the Supreme Court can do. It's out there. It went out there. She kept some stuff redacted. But the truth is, it showed that Trump organized this thing, wanted a riot, didn't care if Mike Pence get hanged, and he was behind overturning the Constitution.
So help us understand, for those that didn't follow it and say, what does he mean? What's going on here? Just give us a 1 or 2 minute history lesson here of what this document is, why Judge Chutkan had purview over it, and why release it now.
Jack Smith filed a brief with attachments, including excerpts of grand jury testimony and deposition testimony, trying to show, and I think successfully, that even with the immunity decision of the U.S. Supreme Court, what Trump had done was not an official act, it was a private criminal act, and he succeeded. But in the course of it, he laid out his whole case. So if this thing had been tried right now, this is a testimony everybody would have heard. And the beautiful thing about this, he's put it out there, and nobody in the Republican Party can cross-examine it. And it's just out there. And what she did was posted publicly. People are reading this stuff. What? You wanted Mike Pence murdered? What? You wanted a riot? What? You didn't care? You know, you didn't care that 140 officers were getting beaten up and a few of them killed? What? You know, he can't refute it. Was it? You know what he said? He said she shouldn't have released it. I mean,
well, of course,
come on,
not,
guy.
Right?
Come on. Did you start a riot or not, guy?
So this all stems, Matt, and you keep me honest here, my friend. So this all stems from Jack Smith, of course, is the special prosecutor appointed by Merrick Garland, the U.S. Attorney General. And the special prosecutor looked into what happened on January 6th, and Judge Chutkan was the federal judge appointed to oversee this trial. And through various, like Trump has done his whole life in the private sector, he's found ways to delay. And so that's why we don't have a trial. Am I right so far, Matt?
Yes, you are, and you had six tarantulas on the Supreme Court who were trying to protect Trump. And Chutkan, terrific district judge, found a way to checkmate the tarantulas. Because once it goes out there, you and I are talking about it. New York Times is talking about it. Washington Post is talking about it. She checkmated the tarantulas.
And what Matt's talking about there, of course, was the U.S. Supreme Court decision earlier this year that essentially, again, keep you on track, Matt, that the U.S. Supreme Court said that whatever a president does in office, as long as it's an official act, he is immune. which is tantamount to giving the President of the United States king-like powers, which we've never seen before in this country.
Right. And if Joe Biden, and I'm not saying we're gutsier, he would arrest the Supreme Court, 20 mm-hmm. Republican congressmen, the squad, a handful of left-wingers, and send them to Guantanamo. That's an official act. He can't be prosecuted for that. Will he do that?
If,
no.
If he, we're not advocating that? Well, for not that, president. But we're just saying if he wanted to, under
right.
the Supreme Court, he could.
Right. Yeah. Right. He right. could. It made him like the French king in the early 18th century. Well, guess what? Then suddenly he appeared in the Place de Concorde in 1793, and he lost his right. head. That's what happened. So you right. want to stop this kind of stuff. But the fact is that Tanya Chutkan did the right thing, and this way the appeals court, all the Republican judges up there, the tarantulas, can't do anything about it because we're talking about it and everybody in the country is talking about it.
So what this unsealed document is the indictment, correct?
No. Well, the unsealed document is more than that. The unsealed document is 165 pages long with attachments with four parts. One of them is Jack Smith said, if we could go to trial, here's what I would show. And he can't be cross-examined. He showed really bad stuff. I mean, really bad stuff.
So essentially,
they're going to hang Mike Pence. Well, what the hell? You know?
Right.
Yeah,
so essentially, this is, for lack of a better term, as a non-lawyer, this is the portfolio that the prosecution says, here's, judge, what we're going to bring in this trial. Because unlike what we see on TV, the movies, very rarely does anybody walk in the back door of a courtroom and everybody goes, oh, you know, and nobody knew about it. There's something called discovery in the legal process where each side going into a trial basically knows what the other side is going to say. So this is kind of what the prosecution, Jack Smith, laid out to say, hey, this is what I'm going to say in trial about Trump, correct?
Right. And if this had been going to go to trial next week, the judge wouldn't have permitted this to be published in advance. But she managed to stick it to the six tarantulas on the Supreme Court. And she said, okay, I'm just going to unseal it. She has complete immunity. She can do that, and it was the right thing to do. And suddenly Jack Smith has the best of both worlds. It's all out there. This is, you don't need a trial. This is out there right now. And there's no Republican witnesses to refute it because they all deny it happened. And now in black and white, it says, well, Mike Pence, they're going to hang him. Well, so what? So what? That's what he said. So what? Well, I mean, what do you mean, so what? And so on. Right.
If you want to call in, talk to Matt quickly, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Matt, and again, we're not, this is, you know, to quote Joe Biden, this isn't hyperbole. I'm not joking, folks. I mean, this is allegedly direct quotes of what do you think was the most surprising thing that you've seen so far in this unsealed document?
Well, there are two things, but the most surprising thing to me is, because Mike Pence has been very loyal to Trump, and when they said, you got to save him, you know, he may be murdered, Trump said, so what? I had not heard that before. I'd heard that he didn't care and all that, but before it was all kind of just generally descriptive. This is his exact words. Now, if he claims, I didn't say that, well, go ahead, say that. He doesn't say that. He says she never should have revealed it. I mean, the guy's running for president, Todd, for God's sake. In, what, 4.5 weeks? And well, so what? They shouldn't have revealed it? Well, I think that's very relevant. And the other thing, when you think about it, was early on in the planning of the riot, and it was Bannon and Giuliani, those people, he put out a text that said, come there, and in the past, I had just heard that he said that there'll be a lot going on. In this one, he's much more descriptive, and he doesn't deny any of this stuff.
Right.
The reason is he can't deny it.
No, I think that you make a key point, Matt, and we've seen this with closer to home with Derek Van Orten, the congressman Republican in the 3rd District, where, look, he got arrested or detained at least by the TSA for trying to get a handgun on an airplane. He verbally abused an underage girl in a library in Prairie du Chien. He verbally abused teenage pages out in Washington, D.C. after having too much to drink. He doesn't deny any of that, but he says, well, you're taking it wrong. Or Brian Stile, the congressman from the 1st District of Wisconsin, won't release the footage. Why won't they release it, Matt? Because it proves it's true. And so when these people don't deny it, they just say, well, I didn't want you to see it. Isn't that, you're an attorney, isn't that essentially a guilt by non saying it?
It's admission, right. And let me tell you something. This Van Orden thinks he's a tough guy, and he tries to rough up TSA people, teenage girls, and all that. A tough guy doesn't do that. And I think he's misjudging La Crosse and Eau Claire and that whole area, because I know I have a lot of friends over there. They don't like that kind of stuff. They don't need it. Yeah. Rebecca Cook is a very strong candidate. I was at an event for her over here in Milwaukee. So anybody out there listening, yeah, Rebecca Cook is going to be the next congressperson from that area.
Let's go very quickly, 855-752-4842, very quickly to Dick in Madison. Dick, if you can keep it short, please go ahead.
Yeah, oh, to Trump and what's going on now and him crying foul that is coming right before the election. First of all, is this a classic case of, you know, careful what you wish for? And by that I mean he strung this thing out, him and his attorneys, and I've just read recently, since this happened, that his own attorneys told him there's a chance this might come up during the election by stringing it out.
Matt, go ahead.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, no, you're right, and here's the deal. If Tanya Chutkan has certified this to the Supreme Court and say, can I release it, the tarantulas would have said no. But she is under no obligation to do that. She did the correct legal thing, and what they did not anticipate is that Tanya Chutkan is so strong, she just released it. And once it's out there, you can't bring it back. Once it's out there, you can't bring it back. And all he did is have his trial in the public domain without being able to refute it. It was very, very dumb.
Matt Flynn, always a pleasure. I always appreciate you making time for us. Your perspective, your take on history, and your information. You allow us as non-lawyers to understand this. I really appreciate it. Very quickly, you got 30 seconds. Plug your latest book.
My latest book, The Court of Last Resort. It's about a federal judge in Chicago who gets tired of injustice, and he slips out at night and he takes care of business on his own. And it is, I think, it's selling very well, very compelling story. Please get hold of The Court of Last Resort. Good fall reading. You'll love it. And other people have really loved this one. It's a very poignant one with a surprise ending.
Matthew J. Flynn, we always appreciate it. Buy it where books are sold. See you soon, my friend. Have a great day in Milwaukee. Come on back. Wrap things up in Ripon, Wisconsin with Mandy Kim is on the other, Kimes on the other side, right here live from Ripon. Welcome back live on location here from Ripon, Wisconsin. It's the Tom O'Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live in front of the Little White Schoolhouse, the birthplace of the Republican Party, a historic site here in beautiful Ripon, Wisconsin. Thank Matt Flynn, of course, for coming on the show. As always, fantastic. Also, thanks to Dan Schaefer, our political editor here at Civic Media and founder of the Recombobulation Area, to George Gale and Judy Bry from Sauk County on that very big story in Sauk County, the healthcare center there being privatized or attempting to privatize. We'll continue to follow that on this network and on this show as well. But we want to wrap things up where we started, and that is with Mandy Kimes, the Executive Director of the Ripon Area Chamber of Commerce. Mandy, thanks for coming back on the show here to help us round things off.
I just want more time hanging out.
We've already gotten a couple of comments from people that say she should be on the radio more, and I agree.
Oh, that's so nice. I was not a big history buff before moving into this role, and I can't help but dig into the history more and more, and I feel like it does change how I lead and how I live. And so I'd love to tell more people about it on the radio someday.
Well, and again, we came up here today because Vice President Kamala Harris is going to be campaigning here, and she is bringing along with her former Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney, a longtime Republican, comes from the Cheney family, ultimate Republicans, ultimate conservatives. And it's notable that they chose this location, literally the birthplace of where Republican Party started. And you have a great story, and timely indeed, because our friends at Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, a great film about baseball. And we'll get more into this tomorrow, telling you about some of the great locations where this film is being opened this weekend. There are a couple of places that it closes tonight, so be aware of that. And check Just a Bit Outside, themovie.com, to find out more about this great movie. But baseball, and the Brewers are playing tonight, by the way, in a critical game three down in Milwaukee against the Mets. But tell us how baseball plays into this historic historic courthouse in Ripon, Wisconsin.
Yeah, so we have an incredible historic society. It's actually the longest running one in the state of Wisconsin. And so we've gone into the archives and found all the pictures, all of the things we can about the Little White Schoolhouse. And one of my favorite stories that really solidified this building in my heart was finding that when the community was rallying together to save the Little White Schoolhouse and allow it to be preserved, they really got everyone involved, whether you were a business owner or you were just a resident. You can even see like who gave $5 and who gave $500. Like we have their handwritten signature. But one of the things they did was create a community baseball game. And they decided that the team's names would be the Democrats and the Republicans. And I'm not sure how they decided who was on which team. But they were able to raise a great amount of money during that game. And the game actually ended in a tie, which I find just, I don't know if that was purposeful or, but I think it was just such a cool picture of a community saying, you know, wherever you're from in this, this is part of our history. This is something worth preserving. Let's do it together. And it, really within 10 days, they raised what then was $1,200, which now is just, I mean, it's an incredible amount of money. And so it's just that kind of community spirit that I think it represents, that, you know, country over party, that ability to put aside differences and come together about things that matter. And I love that. Picture.
I think that's a wonderful story. And again, that's so much what Civic Media is about. It's so much about what we try to make this program about, is finding ways for people from all political dynamics to come together to help our communities. And whether or not you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent, whatever your affiliation is politically, to have this piece of history preserved, because that's the only way, in my opinion, that we could get better as communities and a nation, is learn from both our mistakes and our successes. And the fact that people could come here and learn the true meaning of what it meant to be a Republican when this party was founded, and the fact that both Republicans and Democrats came together through a baseball game to help raise money to preserve this, I think is fantastic.
It's beautiful. And honestly, Ripon has a great history of people being involved in their, you know, the people at this meeting went on to be part of the legislature. The Republican Party grew. One of the things that makes this unique is the Republican Party continued. A lot of political parties were started back then, but this one really remained and grew in strength. And eventually, you know, 1860, we had Abraham Lincoln. And he was not the first Republican candidate. He was the first Republican president. So that's something I didn't really know before about John C. Fremont. But it's so fun and it's so inspiring, and it's something that we can all look to and remember, you know, especially in days like today.
About a minute and a half left. I want to give you a chance. Ripon has a lot more than just the Little White Schoolhouse. As the executive director of the Chamber of Commerce, give us your 90-minute elevator pitch. Why should people come to Ripon and check it out?
90 minutes? Wow.
Honestly, I am the welcome wagon for Ripon. And so whether you're really into history, obviously we're the place for you. We have amazing dining opportunities. We're home to Knuth Brewing Company, which is now selling wholesale all across the state of Wisconsin. Vines and Rushes, we have our own winery here.
Really?
We have fine dining, to elevated pub food, to wood fire pizzas, and Jay's barbecue, amazing barbecue. So definitely come for the food, come for the unique shops. Every business owner has a story. Every business is very unique, and they really want to know who you are and find something that's perfect for you. We're home to the first Marcus Theater ever. It's definitely a very old, not super updated theater, but it's the first, and we love that. We have beautiful trails. We're right by Green Lake. There's just so much to do here, outdoors, indoors, in winter, in summer. And I never thought I would love Ripon the way I do, but it's honestly, it's the heart of the Midwest. It's the most picturesque small town, and people really do care for each other. And so 13 years later, I'm still here, and I'm proud to be a Riponite for sure.
Well, you segue so nicely, because our friends at Marcus Theaters are one of the main theaters that is carrying this great new movie just a bit outside the store of the 82 Brewers. So great to be here. I didn't know that Marcus Theaters started here.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, they'll always keep it open. It's only $6 to go. And it's fun to think that Harrison Ford went and saw a movie there, and now I go and see him in the movie. Like, I just, you know, it kind of blows
amazing.
My mind a little.
Check it out, MarcusTheaters.com. Also, check out JustABitOutsideTheMovie.com. Ripon website?
Oh, it's just ripon-wi.com. So
there
definitely look it up.
Mandy Kimes, thank you so much. Executive Director here at the Chamber of Commerce in Ripon. Thanks to all of our guests. Thanks to you for listening. Stay tuned for Maggie Dawn. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, keep banging your drum. More coverage on the Harris visit later here in Civic Media.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.